The Patriot Act, turning citizens into suspects since 2001. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I've been a journalist for about 25 years, and I was educated to lie, to betray, and not to tell the truth to the public. So I knew what would happen if I would not cooperate with intelligence services.
He knew what would... Actually, that is not Assange, by the way. This is Dr. Yuro Olkov, who actually was murdered right after this.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was a journalist that said, I wouldn't cooperate with the intelligence agencies, and when I wouldn't cooperate, I knew I was in danger. Well, he was. He was actually murdered. Boy, his tale... You can actually find him on YouTube. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. So glad that you're listening in. We'll talk about whistleblowers. We'll talk about the House Judiciary. We'll get everybody caught up to speed on what's going on with the great Chris Ann Hall. I have Uncle Milty here, Chris Ann Hall, chrisannhall.com, and that's with a K, by the way, chrisannhall.com. She has a wonderful show that you need to check out, and also she is our constitutional attorney and expert, and always glad to have her two cents in on any of these topics we're covering. So welcome, Chris Ann.
Thank you so much, Kate. We are driving across the vast breadth of the state of North Dakota.
Wow. I love it.
The Liberty Tour 2019 is in North Dakota, which, by the way, Kate, means that I have now visited 47 states to teach the Constitution in America.
No.
And I only have 10 more to go.
Oh, my God. 10 more to go.
Thank you, President
Thank
Obama.
Thank you, President Obama. I love it. I'm so proud of you. That's just awesome. I'm just in awe of what you've been able to do. And just do it as one person who really cared. And I think people need to know that. You just really cared about people understanding. And here it has turned into this. I think it's amazing. And my hat's off
to you. Well, it is a family affair. I mean, I can't do it without my guys.
Right.
So I can't really take all the credit. But it is a passion, that is for sure.
Well, I love it. We'll get to Assange. Trust me, it's a huge breaking story today. And we'll have Chris Ann address that, too. Let's start with the House Judiciary on hate crime.
That actually happened on August 9th. I'm sorry, April 9th. And this is why people need to watch these things on C-SPAN and not get their news from Fox or from CNN. And to actually watch the hearing, it is so telling. It tells us. It informs us on exactly what our legislators are up to, the perspective that they absolutely work from, and the bias by which they actually even conduct their so-called investigations. And it's just, it was absolutely insane because, you know, it was all about hate crimes. And you know that I have said this on your show, I said they say this on my show all the time, there is absolutely no such thing as a hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
There, you don't go to prison for hating.
Right.
What they refer to as hate crimes are sentence enhancements for crimes that have already been committed if the prosecution can prove that you murdered somebody of a protected class and you did that because you hated that protected class.
Yeah.
So it literally is thought prosecution. But what was so telling, we have the chairman, who's a Democrat, right, opening statements. He doesn't refer to hate crimes. He refers to hate incidents.
Hmm.
Because, you see, there is no such thing as a hate crime, and they know it, but they can't say it. And he opens up with his opening statements about hate incidents, and he says some are crimes and some are not.
Hmm.
So from his opening statement, Kate, we get a true understanding of the project of our Congress, what exactly they are trying to do. And I believe that this is insight on the fact that our Congress wants to take control of things that are of all speech and press, whether they are crimes or not. And so we're now defining congressional control over things that are incidents and not actually crimes, And so since they're actually incidents and not crimes, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
No due process is necessary.
Ah, interesting. You know, they actually, just think about this for a second, they actually disabled the YouTube live stream on the hearing on hate because of hateful comments. So they shut it down so that you couldn't get the live stream. And that's exactly what you're talking about, is the fact that, well, what did they deem as hateful? And they can shut something down in the name of hate, even talking about hate. It's quite ironic.
Well, what's ironic was that, you know, we have the Dems who are in the majority now on this House Judiciary Committee, and they absolutely were so full of hate. Candace Owens was on the panel.
Yes, yeah. I played her clip yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so from the beginning, I don't know if you played the opening statement, but from the very beginning, the Democratic chairman lashed out darts and flaming arrows at Candace Owens and the Republicans for choosing her as an expert, condemning them for choosing someone that freely and openly associates with hate groups.
I did hear that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, she railed on him for it.
She
held her own ground. But I wish she would have learned, if she knew a little bit more about parliamentary rules.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you see, when the Congress and their committees have to operate by parliamentary rule, and when a congressman references you, then by parliamentary rule, you have an immediate opportunity to respond to that announcement.
Yep.
So she could have very well interrupted the hearing and said, look, rule of order, Chairman, By Robert's rules, because I was just referenced by your congressman, I have an immediate right to respond.
Right.
And, you know, so I was really grateful that there were some people that yielded their time to her so she could respond. But, you know, she had a parliamentary right to respond right away. And it was just despicable that they were calling, they actually called her despicable, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she tried to correct their error, she was actually interrupted and said, you can't call people names. Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You just called her name.
Exactly. Exactly. Ted Lieu tried to say that she said something about Trump that he didn't like. Not Trump, Hitler, that he didn't like.
Yeah,
and
Hitler.
I thought, wow, now we get to sit in condemnation for what you think somebody said. So he put it out there about nationalism. And she really held her own. She came right back at him and she said, that isn't what I said at all. You took it out of context. But I felt, and really defended herself on that. But I was thinking about the fact that he was able to take a statement from her and then classify it as hate speech, even though he took it out of context and it wasn't. He tried to do that to her in front of everybody. And I thought that was kind of classic.
Well, and that's proof the direction of our Congress wants to take with speech and press. And which is why I firmly believe why he referred to them as hate incidents rather than hate crimes. Because they want to be able to censor. When you look at that hearing, right, when you get past all the politics and all the rhetoric, which I found very interesting, you know, we had the Democrats spewing their hate. You know me, I'm not Democrat versus Republican kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole hearing was completely partisan-based.
Yes.
There was no truth-seeking there. There was no real definitions established. It was all partisanship. And so what you had was the Democrats spewing hate under the illusion that they were wanting to define hate.
Yeah.
And I don't know, how does hate define hate? I simply don't get that.
I'm baffled. And the fact that we've ventured into hate crime and they've convinced so many states into doing this and now we have it really is an assault on the First Amendment. I hope everybody's getting that because whatever they think or they want to think you did and why, it's all intention or perspective of intention now. Isn't crime just, I mean, you have to not like people to want to commit a crime, so that pretty much puts it in the category anyway.
Yeah, murder is hate. You don't love murder.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just simply ludicrous. I actually tweeted out to Judge Napolitano and Judge Janine and Fox and Friends and said, please, will somebody speak out about the fact that there is no such thing as hate crime. Because now we have a lot of the American people believing that it's actually a crime to hate.
Yeah.
And they're begging Congress to give definitions for these things. And that is a problem in America, because what we're actually doing is begging Congress mm-hmm. to destroy our liberties. We're begging for a statist government to create a ministry of truth. And when mm-hmm. you watch this hearing and you get past all the partisanship, you have to deduce just one simple thing. The entire purpose of this hearing was to not only convince the American people that congressional involvement was necessary, mm-hmm. but to justify congressional involvement and to justify congressional defining and regulating of speech. This is what they want.
Right.
Because they want to be able to define what you can say and mm-hmm. what you can't say. Because that is a, and I'm going to tick somebody off here, Kate, mm-hmm. but that is a greater control than gun control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. And they're doing it hatefully, which even just again shines a light on the ludicrous nature of what we're seeing as well, because they're doing it by hating on the people, the very people they had testifying, which is kind of interesting. So they're
well,
showing
they were
you how
so
to do it.
Vicious to Candace Owens yeah. and to the guy who was representing the Jewish perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I simply the way they conducted that hearing with the quote-unquote Democrat witnesses, juxtaposition
right.
of the way they treated the quote-unquote Republican witnesses is so, so eye-opening. And I told everybody, I posted on Facebook that even I, as woke as I am, was actually stunned at how blatant and shining their vitriol actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Eva Patterson.
Yeah.
Eva Patterson, the Democrat witness who is a civil rights attorney and a black woman, who steps up and gives a quote by Thomas Jefferson saying that Thomas Jefferson began the narrative that black people were good for nothing but slaves. And then she said, from the inception of our country through the Constitution, the founders of America willfully and consciously embraced slavery and white supremacy. And she said,
oh my
this
God.
May not be popular, but it is fact.
Whoa!
That is,
be right back. We'll be right back. Kate Daly Show.
All right, so my first question is to Ms. Hershenhoff. Ms. Owen said, quote, if Hitler just wanted to make Germany great and have things run well, okay, fine. The problem is that he had dreams outside of Germany. So when people try to legitimize Adolf Hitler, does that feed into white nationalist ideology?
Ms. Owens, I'm sorry. We just started a recording. Would you like time to respond to that?
Yes, I think it's pretty apparent that Mr. Lube believes that black people are stupid and will not pursue the full clip in its entirety. He purposely presented an extracted clip.
Witness will suspend for a moment. It is not proper to refer disparagingly or to a member of the committee. The witness will not do that again. Witness may continue.
Sure, even though I was called despicable.
Witness may not refer to a member of the committee as stupid.
I didn't refer to him as stupid. That's not what I said. That's not what I said at all. You didn't listen to what I said. May I continue?
Wait, please.
As I said, he is assuming that black people will not go pursue the full two-hour clip, and he purposefully extracted, he cut off, and you didn't hear the question that was asked of me. He's trying to present as if I was launching a defense of Hitler in Germany, when in fact, the question that was asked of me was pertaining to whether or not I believed that Hitler was whether or not I believed in nationalism, and that nationalism was bad. And what I responded to was that I do not believe that we should be characterizing Hitler as a nationalist. He was a homicidal, psychopathic maniac that killed killed his own people. A nationalist would not kill their own people. That is exactly what I was referring to in the clip, and he purposely wanted to give you a cut up similar to what they do to Donald Trump to create a different narrative. That was unbelievably dishonest, and he did not allow me to respond to it, which is worrisome and should tell you a lot about where people are today in terms of trying to drum up narratives. By the way, I would like to also add that I work for Prager University, which is run by an Orthodox Jew. Not a single Democrat showed up to the embassy opening in Jerusalem. I sat on a plane for 18 hours to make sure that I was there. I'm deeply offended by the insinuation of revealing that clip without the question that was asked of me.
Wow. Well, back here with you on the Kate Daly Show. And Chris Sand, did you want to comment on that? Whoops. There we go. Chris Sand, are you with us? Okay.
Candace Owens was terrific.
She was terrific.
Clip.
Welcome back to the show. Chrisanne, are you there? Okay, we'll try and get her on back. It's a powerful clip, and it really goes to show you that they were really, putting Candace Owens on, you know, we don't like the way you said this.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just and here we are for the hate crime.
Well, and he actually lied right there when
yes.
he said you can't call a member of this committee stupid.
Yeah.
She
did. She never did. Yeah. Hi, is this Chrisanne?
It is.
Oh,
it
perfect.
Is. I'm
okay.
Sorry. Like I said, we're driving through North
yes.
Dakota. We're going through a ravine.
Not a problem. I just played that Candace Owens clip, and it was a really strange hearing. And you were telling us about the other statement about Thomas Jefferson that just made me want to throw something at my TV. Did you want to? Because you were just ending that, and you might want to go over that again, just in case people are with us again. Or with us for
yeah,
the first time.
So this panel expert who identifies herself as a civil rights lawyer, mm-hmm. quoting documents written by a law professor, states that Jefferson began the narrative that black people were only fit to be slaves, and that. From the inception of our country, mm-hmm. that our founders knowingly and consciously embraced slavery and white supremacy through our Constitution. And, JC and I have a class at Liberty First University called Slavery and the American Founders.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that this is just patently false.
Mm-hmm.
But we began to wonder, because this is repeated so often, is this something that she actually believes to be true, as she'd been taught?
We lose her again.
Absolutely. She mm-hmm. believes that.
Yeah.
She's been taught that, and she believes it. And that's the problem with these people mm-hmm. anymore. They do not investigate anything. They take what they're taught by the party as truth,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and they just continue in that way.
Yeah.
It's directly out of the book 1984, from the Ministry of Truth in the book 1984.
Mm-hmm.
The Ministry of Truth's whole purpose was to control media, entertainment, the fine arts, and create mm-hmm. the truth out of what they wanted it to be.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with the truth.
I commented on a pretty large station's, expose of this, right,
mm-hmm.
of the hate crime. And I said, actually, if you go look at the numbers, what they're even constituting hate crime or rounding up as a hate crime, because they've broadened the measures now, none of the numbers add up. This is a Trojan horse for this, and this is a way to correct speech, and the prosecution of thought. And somebody under me had written, no, you don't get it. People are being harmed every day, and they're not, and they're harming LGBT, and they're harming all these people, and they need to go to prison for this. And I said, they already have prison for crime.
Yes,
they already have this on the books. You don't need to amplify it in the name of something that you think you could ratchet it up a notch. It's already a done deal. So people aren't dying every single day from hate crimes. That isn't exactly the truth in the way that they're trying to tell it, as in, you know, oh my gosh, millions of people have been affected. That it isn't the truth. That's not the numbers at all. It doesn't even come nothing.
No, and if someone says, oh, they need to have a prison for this, mm-hmm. what do they want to call it? Gulag?
I don't know. Because you're insinuating that somebody is
of
hateful.
Course.
So it's what you think they think. And that can be just about anything. And if somebody's LGBT, you got to know that it's going to go down as a hate crime. Maybe the person didn't even know they were LGBT.
No.
See, that doesn't even come into play. That's the problem. With
well,
this
how
kind of legislation.
Would you know?
You wouldn't. You wouldn't.
Of course
no,
not.
Sometimes you wouldn't know. That's why it's thought crime. And we've got to really watch what we're beckoning the government to do, especially these knuckleheads. If you go back and you hear them, you can't believe these are the people that are in the deciding factors of all of this.
Well, that's the frightening part.
It is. It truly is.
Is to that's, hear how these people speak anymore.
Yeah.
And they don't hide it.
No.
There's mm-hmm. They don't even try to hide it anymore. They know they're lying. They know you know they're lying,
yep.
and they just do it.
Yeah.
Over and over again.
Yep. I agree with you. And so we're not getting her back. But I know she was going to comment about Assange. And I know that, oh boy, there's a lot there to comment on when it comes to Assange and what happened today. I find it, just right out of the gate, I find it kind of curious timing. What happened with Assange,
mm-hmm.
don't you? You know, all the articles say he was hiding out. Well, he was in the embassy. Everybody knew where he was.
Yeah.
I wouldn't consider
Real
that.
Real good hide.
I wouldn't consider that hiding out. And I think that the timing is curious. I think the timing is curious because of now the direction from the Russia hoax now into the intelligence angle of this to the events of 2016, which he heavily played into because of what he was able to leak about, you know, the emails and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. I'll take the caller real quick. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show.
The correct word would be thought crime.
Oh, yeah. Thought crime. Yes, absolutely.
Free Assange, please, Mr. President.
Yeah, right? Thank you. Thanks for that. I they could have done this a while ago, and I just think the timing's kind of curious. And what is he going to, is there something he'll give us? I don't know.
Did you see the video of him coming out of the embassy when
yes,
they arrested
yes.
him? He looked to me like he'd been heavily drugged.
Yeah. Heavily drugged. Yeah, he looked, something was up
with
him.
And he was trying to signal something. He was pointing and trying to signal something. I don't necessarily think anymore that he was hiding. I think he was being hidden.
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? And so we can go over the charges. We can go over, exactly. Because I think it's interesting to know exactly what he's being charged with. Because he really came on the radar. He was a hacker before, but he came on the radar with the Chelsea Manning. And the U.S. government, our government, is trying to say that he assisted in that. Assisted in getting the files. And so there's some information around that, I think, that needs to be understood as far as what they do and how they do it in the NSA and in gathering information and the collection of IP addresses used to access WikiLeaks, which promised my brain just went blank, the anonymity to whistleblowers, but could have revealed their identities, which is, they think, what happened too. There's lots of things surrounding this that need to be known.
The judge, mm-hmm. the impartial judge, said Assange is a narcissist who cannot get beyond his own selfish interests. That's the judge said that.
Really?
I like that judge, yeah.
Well, yeah. So Assange founded WikiLeaks in 2006, right? And it really came into play in 2010 when they produced a series of leaks that was provided by Chelsea Manning. And the leaks included the collateral murder video, April 2010, the Afghanistan war logs, that was from July 2010, or that's when it was done, Iraq war logs, and Cablegate. And then following those leaks, our federal government launched a criminal investigation into WikiLeaks. They don't like this information getting out, right? And mm-hmm. and they like to be privy to all. And so they asked allied nations for assistance. And then in November 2010, Sweden issued an international arrest warrant for Assange. He'd been questioned there over what they're calling a sexual assault. And they say rape, except it's lesser lesser rape. I mean, it doesn't even get the full context of rape, so it's kind of an interesting case, which I could describe. But the Assange surrendered to the UK police on December 7th of 2010, and then he was released on bail. And then, having been sort of unsuccessful in the challenge to get extradition, he breached his bail and then was granted asylum by Ecuador embassy there in the UK. And so he's actually an Australian citizen. He remained in the embassy of Ecuador in London until today. And there's a lot about this. There's so much about this that is scary for whistleblowers right now, because the things that he was putting forward, and very instrumental, right, in really what became the Russian hoax, because they had to have a diversion of some kind because they didn't like this particular information coming out. What other information can he deliver? Now, we have a lot of politicians today, one in particular, Joe Manchin, saying, oh, he's our property, and want to call for his execution. I know Biden was always calling for him to be executed and everything else. Is it treason when you're unearthing secrets of our government, things that they do against the people? I
thought that was patriotism.
Well, there's a lot of people that go, well, that's treason because national security, even though they don't know how the information can affect national security.
No,
it's like
not
a blanket
a clue.
Approach, right? To say, oh, well, nobody that's a nobody can do that. Only the government can deliver the information. And when the government delivers it, then they're protecting national security. But you know what? For our whistleblowers out there, If that's the way we're always going to treat it, then how are whistleblowers going to come forward and talk? Because anyone then could say, they did this with Snowden too. Anyone can say, well, it was they corrupted national security. They affected national security. There's no evidence they've ever put forth on that. And I don't know if people get that. There's not one shred of evidence that actually did that. It's just a super big accusation that they love to put out if they don't like somebody leaking information about what the government's doing. Be right
That's
back
right.
on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome back. Kate Daly Show. You can call up 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. You know, they started talk about arresting Assange a couple of months ago. And you brought up a really good point, and that is that he is a citizen of
Ecuador.
Yeah, he's a citizen of Ecuador.
During the 7.5 years under Ecuadorian constitution, he has become a citizen of Ecuador. So the previous president, Correa, of Ecuador, has a lot to say about this. And he is absolutely adamant that he originally gave asylum to Assange because he felt he couldn't get a fair trial.
Mm-hmm.
And all this has changed since Correa is no longer president. But he says, according to Ecuador's constitution, he was given asylum. He's become a citizen. And he should still be sitting there in the embassy,
right?
Without being able to be kicked out to where he could be arrested. And they should have extradited him from Ecuador.
Yeah. So we knew this was coming, but I do think the timing is rather curious right now. Why wait? I mean, I think there's usually always a reason for it. You think he was drugged?
He looked drugged to me, and I'm starting to wonder if he was even there of his own free will for the whole 7.5 years.
Interesting. That's interesting.
He may have just been a prisoner there, because he absolutely looked drugged to me. And what they said when he was arrested, he was yelling and gesticulating.
Well,
he was trying to say something to the media, and he was pointing.
Right.
And it was like he couldn't get it out. He was so messed up in the head.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked terrible.
Yeah.
He looked like
he
was 30 years older than he is.
Yeah, I agree.
So there's something wrong here.
Well, let's take a caller. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
You know, so he was in the embassy for, what, 7+ years?
Mm-hmm.
This whole thing started about a decade ago.
Yeah, 2010.
You know, and when you back up, mm-hmm. what was our country doing back then? And you look at how things have changed from then until now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what's he going to say, or what information would come out that's going to matter? I mean, it would matter to us, you know, mm-hmm. you and I, and then people who, you know, listen to your show and care about things mm-hmm. like that. But, I mean, you look at, you know, you want scandal, you want information, you mm-hmm. know, look at what's been going on politically these last few years.
Right.
You know, it's like, I don't think people, you know, the media doesn't care. The left wing, you know, political mm-hmm. parties in our country, I don't think, what could he say? What information could they drag up that anyone would even care about?
I don't know.
You know, would it even matter? Because if the whole Trump-Russia mm-hmm. thing isn't enough for you, and the Hillary, and mm-hmm. the Clinton Foundation, and the Uranium, you know, it's just the list goes on. It's like,
yep, you're
if
thinking
people
that...
didn't care about that, it's like... What's gonna,
right.
Yeah,
I don't
know,
think it's that they didn't care. I just think it when it's ignored by media for a reason, and it's ignored
So
I'm with you on that. Hey, thanks for that. Thanks for that call. I really appreciate it. It's a great point. Yeah.
Well, it is a good point, but mm-hmm. there is something that you could maybe say. There's something in a way that he could corroborate the information mm-hmm. that came out. See,
okay,
because the left's position is none of that. It's all been whitewashed, and none of it was ever really proven to be
mm-hmm.
true.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he may know something that can actually corroborate it to the point where we'll know it's true.
Yeah, that's what people are saying.
Yes.
They're saying that he's got more info.
So it's not necessarily even more info, just the corroboration of mm-hmm. what he already put out on WikiLeaks.
Well, maybe more concrete info. I mean, something that can't be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was Eric Holder, mm-hmm. who should have been investigating himself. It was Eric Holder that went after him and activated that investigation at the time, just kind of bringing everybody back to 2010. And so that's what ensued at the time. And there were lots of things going on under the Eric Holder time frame, wasn't there, that were so criminal, yet they went after this. And I think it really is a question of, well, let me say that CIA Director Mike Pompeo, right, 2 years ago, called WikiLeaks a non-state hostile intelligence service often abetted by state actors like Russia. Okay. We all know that that is the most ridiculous statement.
Of course. That is
the most ridiculous statement by Pompeo. And so as they were trying to get him on the 1917 Espionage Act, you have to also prove, if you're going to go after espionage, that the espionage really, that what happened was espionage, that mm-hmm. it actually did thwart national security in some way. It hasn't. They've gone and done every single thing they've wanted to do. We haven't, I haven't noticed or seen any breaches along the way. Have you? Only breaches by our own government on our own liberty and on the liberty of others. So I'm not quite sure how you'd prove that in court.
Well, time itself has proven it wasn't.
Yeah, exactly. And the time has played out, which is kind of interesting. And so they're trying to go after him by saying that he aided and abetted Chelsea Manning, which I think that whole entire thing was made up. You know, his name has been dragged through the U.S. press for years now on the WikiLeaks publication now of Hillary Clinton campaign with John Podesta private emails, which, by the way, was never proven false. Never proven false. Nothing, actually, that he has brought forward has been proven false. I didn't know if people realized that. Since 2010, there's never been a leak where they've
said
this isn't accurate or
it was made up or
anything else. And so the emails in the run-up to the 2016 presidential election, right? And so the charges against him in the U.S. have nothing to do with that. It's mostly about the Chelsea Manning thing. But according to the indictment that was made public, the U.S. Department of Justice, Assange engaged in conspiracy. Here, the U.S. Department of Justice, who engages in conspiracy on a daily basis, is saying that Assange engaged in conspiracy with U.S. Army intelligence analyst Chelsea Manning to hack into a U.S. computer network, which, by the way, was never has not been proven, storing classified material that, that dated all the way back to March 2010. And there's no allegation in the indictment that the hack, they're saying, was actually successful. And Assange is only charged with conspiracy to commit computer intrusion because they couldn't get that charge that they wanted to facilitate itself because there was no proof. See, so this thing is all smoke and mirrors. I mean, the whole, you know, coming up with these charges is smoke and mirrors. So,
well, and
just to let everyone know.
And also, isn't it interesting that Manning's in jail right now for refusing to testify on some of this, though? Just on
Yep. And on the sexual assault case, by the way, Sweden was permitted to go in and question him and everything else. And they actually surpassed the time frame in order to actually prosecute that.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think that he is some sort of rapist, as the media tried to make him out to be, it was two sexual encounters. And they said that Julian Assange reluctance to use condoms during them. And he had sex with two women, which I don't think it's illegal, but anyway, this stemmed from Sweden, and these two women went to a police station to ascertain whether they could force Assange to take an HIV test. See, now he's going, are you kidding? I mean,
because he didn't use a condom.
Yeah, this is ridiculous. So he repeatedly offered to be questioned by Swedish authorities inside the embassy, and they refused to do so until 2016. And then a prosecutor interviewed the founder inside the embassy, and the inquiry was closed in 2017. Now, what are you seeing in the headlines? Oh, he's up for sexual assault and rape.
No, he's not.
So this is clearly only about the Chelsea Manning thing. By the way, smoke and mirrors on conspiracy to hack a computer, not necessarily that he did. And given all of the information that the NSA has on everybody and IP addresses and going after, anyone that has the ability to hack, still they couldn't find anything more than that. So that's what I'm saying. It's all that part is absolutely smoke and mirrors. So we now have a lot of Democrats chomping at the bit for some reason to really go after him and hang him. That's because what's being said right now, chatter on the ground, is that he has a lot more information on that party, and that there's a reason that we got him right now, and there's a reason he's going back, because now we're refocusing investigations, and that he could blow the lid off of some of the stuff going on in the Democratic Party. Seth Rich, I mean, all kinds of information that he might have on the murder of Seth Rich, and
yeah, and this is all extortion, is what it is, to get him to keep his mouth shut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be, boy. I don't know how you feel about it. I know that there's a lot of people out there, especially like with Snowden too, that kind of got caught, that kind of felt themselves going, well, anyone that leaks any information that the government doesn't give could be up for treason. But how are you going to explain what whistleblowers should be doing too? And whistleblowers are going to feel like no matter what they come up with, if it's against the government, should they automatically be charged with these things? I mean, how are we ever going to have whistleblowers come forward? If you can't prove that it didn't harm this country, and I mean, that would be a serious, you would have to actually prove that the information leaked, I mean, did something to cause deaths and harm and everything else, when we're causing a lot of that overseas anyway, on our own. How in the world would you say national security all the time to that? Oh, national security. Well, that whole blanket statement really bothers me, because they never, ever break it down. They don't ever prove it. It's used as the scapegoat to say nobody better go against us and nobody better divulge what we're up to. That's, to me, what it is.
Of course. That's what it always has been.
I know.
Have you ever read a government document that originally came out redacted and then was unredacted?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's amazing, because it never, ever says what they all speculated it said.
It's true.
Never.
No, you're right. You're right about that. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. You only have about a minute.
I'll be fast.
Sure.
I got to tell you, I really am a big believer in the whistleblower program. In fact, I've often thought that it'd be really wise to have those that are near and close to President Trump to encourage him to pass sweeping new laws that would facilitate and guarantee protection and maybe even incentivize with rewards, mm-hmm. you know, $10,000 reward for exposing crimes that lead to, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
I you got to think that is what's necessary, and that if we had the inside, people on the inside, just mm-hmm. like they protected the Bundys,
mm-hmm.
somebody on the inside came out and said, hey, this is going on behind the scenes. That blew that entire case wide open. $50 million lawsuit going against the feds because of it.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate that. There needs to be way more protection. Like I said, I've interviewed people that were imprisoned on the Patriot Act, and mm-hmm. and they couldn't say a thing while imprisoned on the Patriot Act. I mean, it's ridiculous. The NDAA. It's really quite sad. And just to kind of keep in mind, little reminder, 2015, WikiLeaks reported that three members of the organization had received notice from Google that Google had complied with a federal warrant by U.S. District Court to turn over emails and metadata back from 2012. And at the time, Google had been prohibited in the court order from disclosing the existence of the warrant. But there was another order that came out that gave Google permission to notify WikiLeaks regarding the warrant's existence mm-hmm. and that Google had complied with the order. They all comply with each other. They're trying. So the warrant cited espionage, conspiracy to commit espionage, kind of ridiculous. Conspiracy to commit espionage, theft or conversion of property belonging to the United States government, and violation of computer fraud and abuse, and general conspiracy. Because you got to tack on as many conspiracies as you can, even though our government is run quite afoul with conspiracies themselves. It's kind of interesting, the pot calling the kettle black. But mm-hmm. But just so you know, all these agencies that worked, and I don't even think they had to have a warrant, because what act was that was passed? The name's not coming to mind, but basically where the companies like this can just pony up the information, there's no nothing needed anymore. But there's a lot to that when you look at who was able to assist in all of those charges. You know, they love to tack on charges, and there's a lot of smoke and mirrors with all of those particular charges, because I'm not quite sure. Violation of Computer Fraud and Abuse Act, they couldn't even say that what he had actually done in the amount of computer fraud, because they just said conspiracy for computer fraud. That means they didn't have any information on that, but they were able to tack that onto the charges. And I've seen that happen again and again with people. They tack on so many charges, and so there's that's why they win 98% of their cases. They tack on so many charges.
The more charges they have, the more mm-hmm. likely you are to come to a plea agreement.
Yep. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.